yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
How do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy,
you love him?
See him?
Amen.
Just look into his word. You'll find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to be seated a minute, we got a baby dedication this morning. So we're going to get right on into it. And if Brother Ryan and Sister Gabby will come up and the children, and we're going to dedicate the new baby born just the other day. And already been at church once, so we don't have to count it a visitor today. It's just part of us, so we're glad to have them with us. We're glad to have the baby with us. The Lord took care of it, bring it here okay. So we pray the Lord would bless, okay? And mercy comes to help us too, doesn't she? All right? Amen.
Okay.
Put it up here where everybody can see it.
Yeah. Okay. You see it good?
That beautiful little baby.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Eula.
Eula. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eula Abley.
It's just little Eula. All right. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being able to dedicate this little Eula to thee, Lord, believing thy word that you'll be with her and take care of her, that you'll bless the family, Lord, that you'll be with them, and just, Lord, let everything be for your honor and glory, that you could raise a child. Time exists, it would be a little sister in the church. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. We dedicate it to thee now, in Jesus' name. Now remember, as we dedicate, what do we do? The whole church is dedicated, right? We all dedicate the little one to the Lord, and then we all are to live before the little one, to where that it can see Jesus Christ in us. Not just mom and daddy. Mom and daddy brings the little one for us to do. And the two little sisters too. They bring the baby to dedicate it. But, you know, we all dedicate ourselves to live before this child that it can see Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Bring them to the Lord early. Get them dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you would, let's stand. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1 and Revelation 6. Just, we'll continue what we've been trying to deal about and speak on. Yeah. Now remember, the Lord willing, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday. We didn't get to have it yesterday because of the wedding. So we're going to be having the Bible study this coming Saturday at 6 p.m. here at the church. So come and be with us. We have a good time in the Lord fellowshipping together. All right. The fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday in November. If you want to go with us, make sure you make your plans. It'll be down at Brother Tony's there at Six Flags. So remember that one. All right. My wife and I are leaving, the Lord willing, in the morning to go over to Myrtle Beach, where Anna and Richard and and Lisa and Anna's already there, and we're going there for a few days vacation in time. So you just pray that the Lord would help us and all. And Wade will be preaching here Wednesday, and the Lord willing, we will be hooking on to the internet to be able to watch you. Never had to do that so far, but we'll get to do it this time. Amen. So remember that. Also, then next Sunday, just to where when we get back, we won't have to go back right into preaching, and we'll give you kind of a rest here. So next Sunday, Brother Aaron will be taking the Sunday morning service, and Brother Wade will be taking the evening service. So remember these announcements. Anything else? Okay, the Terrence has announced the time down at the Daleville, I don't know what you call it, Chicken House Farm or whatever it is. They say farm now. So we'll be there on, what is it, the 20th of this month. So come and be with us. Start at about 3 o'clock. We'll be eating from 5 to 5:30. And then, you know, just have a good time fellowshipping together and all, you know, and just let the kids play and do things. And we certainly appreciate you. And so, but you got to sign up now to kind of where we can know how much food there is. And I hope Brother Al's not in too bad a shape to get his chili ready this year. So we'll have to make sure to get him. He says he can't see now, so Sister Anna can put the chili in the pot and he can stir it, so it'll still be taken care of. He makes some wonderful chili and all, and we'll be having refreshments, food, and everything. And that's why we kind of need to know how many's coming and all like that. So remember that. I think that's all the announcements. No, they're going to have a yard sale. The church yard sale's on the 27th. On the next Saturday. All right, so they're going to have a yard sale. If any of you got anything you want to put in here to sell, you can put it out here and sell it to somebody or give it away one. You know, that's the way it does. My wife and my sister one time, sister-in-law, one time said they was going to do one, and I told them, I said, okay, I'll just match every dollar y'all make. It cost me $100 for them to have a yard sale. So, you know, didn't too many people turn out. But anyhow, it was all fun. But I think that's all the announcements that we have. Amen? So let's just pray before we read our scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for the hour that we're living, the time, Lord, that we can actually just be able to look around and see prophecy made known by seeing life and seeing the way it is. And to see your word and see it out, how it's unfolding unto us. And we just thank you for all things. And we ask you now that you would just come and speak to our hearts as we read your word this morning, that you would bless each and every one. Remember those that are not here. And remember the sick among us, because you said you would, that you would come among us and give us your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. So have your way now. Forgive our sins. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We've only got one on the poll back there this morning. So if things gets to running a little slow, Brother Anderson is on the poll by himself. All the others are out visiting. So we'll make sure not to try to overload him too fast and call out things that, you know, is slow at all. But Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What? Is it time to understand? Now, Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Amen. You may be seated. We're glad to have Matthew and B.B. and little Ace with us this morning. That the Lord would bless. Now, we've been trying to lay down a pattern or a thought. And I keep bringing it back to you because I want it to dwell in your mind, you know, of what we're doing and all, and then you'll be able to follow after the understanding. But we've been now in the opening of the seals and, you know, starting on through on a study on the book of Revelations. And we've been getting a good bit of response off the internet, a lot of people connecting in. And we'll pray that the Lord will bless you out there as you hear. And check it out. And if it's not right, then send me an email and show me where I missed it at. But I want to be right. I want it to be right. All right. Now, we read here that this fourth one, remember we went through the seals. The first one was a white horse. Then the next one was a red horse. The next one was a black horse. And now we come to a pale horse, which when you mix all of those black, white, you know, and red together, you're going to come out with a pale horse. But remember now that what our thought has been, the rider is the same on each horse because it's exposing Satan. The Bible doesn't reveal. Now, get the words, you know, you can use the word reveal. That's fine. It's not no problems and all. But my point is to try to emphasize that we're trying to expose Satan, not to reveal him. Because we're revealing, trying to reveal Jesus Christ. Because the Bible is not the revelation of the devil. That's what people are trying to do. They're trying to reveal the devil and his ways when that's no good at all. Is to reveal Jesus Christ, and then when we see Jesus Christ, we'll automatically see the devil in his ways, because that'll be doing. So we're trying to expose him for what he is and what he's been and always has been, you know, Satan himself, and how that he comes down through the time upon the earth. He started out, the prophet said there in Genesis, said these seals open up down through time. He said, especially the seventh seal. And doing that, then we can look back there and see where everything started from. But our emphasis has been to the point to try to get you to see that we are not here when the literal seal itself opens. Because surely we don't want to be around here when Armageddon takes place. We don't want to be here in the tribulation. We don't want to be here under the sixth seal and those different things, you know. But we look at it and see it unfold. I keep emphasizing that what I've always tried to get you to see, that the book of Revelation is the bride's book. If you want to see yourself, go in the book of Revelation. See, now the symbols are broke. The prophet tells us the symbols. So now we can read the book of Revelation. That's our book. Because the others was writing about of the times they were on the earth and things. And even the apostles and the writings. But see, we're down here where that the book is being unveiled or revealed, opened, brought into being to where the, we can see who we are in our day and time. And like I've always said to you, you know, we think, well, boy, it would have been something to have been back there when Jesus was here or Moses was here or whatever, you know. But this is the greatest of all. Right. This is the ending up of all things. Amen. The prophet said, I'd rather be here than anywhere. Right. Why? Because we're going to be here to see. Amen. Prophecy is unveiling itself every day right in our eyes, you know, and to where that we can see what's taking place. Right. You know, they even, brother was telling me a minute ago, they've even got a movie out now predicting where that a certain person gets president, what's going to be. Well, boy, that's something, isn't it? And we'll get down to it after a while, which this evening really would, the prophet would say that the seal would be would unfold or, you know, look forward and see it as it would happen in our day and say it would be foretold unto us. Well, you know, like you say, they got this, they got that. Well, what if they miss it? That's what I've always tried to tell the people about the message, you know, that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that I'm looking at. It's not whether certain person's president or who's president or what takes place or what happens in the world or the Mayan calendar, you know, is supposed to run out this year. And according to them, they don't have anything left.
Right.
Well, I'm not worried, you know.
Right.
I just have them to write a few more days, put in the calendar as far as I'm concerned, and they can go right on doing what they want to. But see, it's not the revealing of Satan. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. Then you can see Satan and his tactics and his ways and what he's doing. You can follow him because you follow Jesus Christ through the Word. It's got to be a revelation. That's the main thing. All right. See, then exposing Satan to where that we can see him, right? See his ways and his actions. What is the main thing that Satan tries to do? You say, well, he kills, he does this. No, he's discrediting God's Word.
Right.
If he can get you to doubt God's Word, he's got you defeated.
Right.
Look at what they're doing now. They certainly didn't do it when the prophet was here. You remember? Them that was, when he was here, they kept their mouth shut, didn't they?
Right.
Oh, yeah. They blowed up a little bit, but then when he walked up and said, come up here with me, they had enough sense to shut up and be quiet. But now, see, oh, he's not here. So now it's not the world that's attacking this message. They've left us alone. It's the people in the message. That's attacking the message. Well, you know what I'm trying to do? Expose that as being Satan.
Right.
Now, wait a minute, brother. Them are good brothers and sisters. I didn't say nothing about that. You remember in the Bible one time, there was a certain man standing there, and the Lord Jesus said, get behind me, Satan.
Right.
Now, was he calling Peter the devil?
No.
Right. What was anointing him
right.
at that time? Was the devil, and he said, get behind me. Well, I'm not against anybody. Because I've always told you, if God hadn't revealed what he has to you and I, we couldn't be able to stand where we stand. So it's all what he's revealing unto us. All right? But we see him. We see him down through time. We follow the devil and his tactics. But now he's attacking the one thing that is the only thing that can defeat him is the Word. Jesus is not here in corporal body. The prophet is not here to challenge the world. But the Word is still here. We'll get to that at the end. The Word is still here. Don't worry about it. But everything's right on time. Nothing out of cater. It's all working just for God's plan.
Amen.
All right. But if we'll just stay with the Word, he'll bring us through.
Amen.
All right. Now you'll see at the end of it, the prophet said, nothing can't defeat the Word. All right. And now remember what he says. He said, as long as it's laying on the pages of the Bible, the book, he said it can be questioned. Right? But when it's revealed in your heart and you become one with the Word, it can't be questioned anymore. Just leave them alone because, you know, they've done it. And that's what I'm saying about what Satan's tactics. Because you see what he's doing throughout the people of the message. If they can't attack what he taught, they'll attack something in his life.
Right.
But don't they realize that's the devil?
Right.
You know? No, I I'm just exposing error. What do you mean? Are you the prophet?
Yeah.
I thought we just had one. But you get what I'm saying? See, then that way we're trying to just stay with the Word, just hammer it down
right.
to where we can see Jesus Christ
Amen.
Revealed in the Word. And then we'll see Satan riding off.
Right.
They can go ahead and do all of his tricks and doings and all. We just go right on.
Amen.
You know, believing it. Wonderful brothers out there that their thoughts and ideas are their own thoughts and ideas, but what does the Word say?
Amen.
Is the main thing. All right. Now, let's get on to the point. So we see that the same writer each time, it's not a red writer and a white writer and a black writer and a pale writer, you know. It's the same old devil. The horse is what changes color.
Right.
All right. And in the changing of the color of the horse, it shows what's taking place. So we've been through it, you know, of the white horse and the Antichrist and the deceptive is going. But remember now, the rider gets off of the horse, gets on another horse. The horse keeps riding.
Right. Right.
It just keeps right on going. It's still here. When he got off the red, got on to the black, the red one just keeps riding.
Right. Right.
The horse don't stop. Because that's the power and the things of Satan as he's working through the church system. All right. Well, Brother Dale, don't you think anybody's got anything? I only know of one person that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's me. I'm sorry. Now, it's no good for you to say, I believe Brother Dale's got it. That won't do no good. It's not that away, right? Remember, if there's only one going, you got to believe you're the one. You're the only one that knows whether you're born again or not. I can't tell you. You say, well, we follow the Word. Everybody claims to follow the Word. You want to go across the street and listen to the man? Will he say, we're not following the Word here? No, he won't say that, will he? Everybody believes they're following the Word. Well, what are we going to do? I'm just going to keep right on going down the road. And when we walk off the earth, this will all be settled and all be finished up. But now think about it. The four stages of the Antichrist, which is Antichrist, false prophet, then he becomes a vicar or a pope, and then he'll become the beast. But you know, I love the points the prophet was making. He can't be that beast until we get out of here. Now, he's the man of sin. He's the false prophet. He's the Antichrist. But he can't be that incarnate false prophet of the beast until we get out of here. All right. See, and if that bores you for me to keep emphasizing that, then I'll tell you, you don't understand then. If it bores you, because, you know, I still love to hear Brother Branham explain water baptism, don't you? You know, I don't get bored because of him explaining something simple. I believe it and go on. All right. But think about it. Exposing Satan for what he is. He's a devil. He's a demon. He's all of the things that the Bible calls him. The red dragon, the different things. And seeing him and seeing what happens to him, that he's defeated.
Amen.
That's why I said there the other day, talking about it, that when it comes down to that pale horse, remember, that's how God is describing him.
Right.
He's describing him as a pale horse.
Amen.
We'll read in a minute. Sickly looking thing.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Satan's got every government in the world under his control.
Amen.
But they're blowing each other apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Every country's against the other country. All of them ruled by the same devil. That's hard to understand, isn't it? Looks like some of them would give up and kind of give in. No,
right.
Demons won't do that.
Nope. Right.
No.
Right.
They all want to be the head man.
Right.
But think about it. All the governments of the world are controlled by the devil.
Yep.
Show me one that's not. Oh, we're an American. We're Christians. Yeah. But listen, church. It's not to see what's out there. All right? It's to see what's in here. To see everybody in the world's lost ain't going to save you. To see you're lost. Yeah, but bless God. I've been in the message 40 years. Well, let me quote one of the brothers in the message. Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, who said that? That was the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, right.
Right. That was the Apostle Paul that made that statement.
Amen.
All right. See, to find out we're lost is one great thing, because that's what we're going to deal with. We get over to it. Death. Death is not going to the undertaker and being put in the ground. That soul leaves that body and lives on. What is death? Only the eagle knew what it was. We'll get to that in a minute. Only he knew what real true death was. And he seen it. And tried to preach it unto us. Okay. Let's get on with it. See? Brother Anderson, let's just jump over 1, 2, 3, and 4. And let me just quote it. You can bring up number 5 in a minute. But remember, what are we covering? That the seals is not to you and I. The literal happening. But we see the prophet said on the paragraph 87 of the fifth seal, the seals reveal what was, what is, and what shall be.
Right.
The whole plan of redemption is revealed in those seals.
Yes.
Right? And therefore us.
Amen.
I hope you don't misunderstand my wording. The seals is revealed to you and I.
Amen.
We see them actually greater. Now listen. We see the opening of the, by the opening of the seals by way of the prophet, we see it greater than it will actually be when it literally comes.
Right.
I'd rather be here seeing it now
right.
than to be there when it literally takes place.
Right. Yeah.
Because we can see it more, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because this prophet was able to go into the mind of God and bring out of there the revelation to you and I. That's why I've encouraged you to read the seal book. I've emphasized over 40 something years to read it. But read it to see what it's saying to you. When I finally read the seal book, when I first came into the message, I enjoyed a lot what I read, right? But you know what I done? I put the seal back down because I seen I wasn't understanding. And I went back to the church age book and began to read and study that, because I realized I wasn't getting what he was saying. Because as I would read the seal book, what I was getting was seemingly a man's revelation. Even though he would prove it by history, I was listening to what somebody said. That's wonderful. Now, don't misunderstand this point. That was wonderful. And when he said that the Bible had become a new book, that was wonderful. But I've seen people been in the message 2 or 3 months and say, "Oh, it's something, ain't it, that the Bible's a brand new book?" Well, they didn't even know what the old one said, let alone to think about what a new book was. See? I admit I didn't see the new book. I seen a lot in the book that I didn't understand before.
Right.
But I went back to the church ages and stayed on that for quite a while, studying it, because of the doctrinal issues of the one God, the different things, the serpent seed, of things that I knew that I needed. But then one day I began to read the seal book. And as I began to read the seal book, I began to see this man's not, he's not talking about himself. Although you got to admit, going through the seal book, it seemingly that he's talking about himself. But he said, no, I'm talking about the Word. I'm talking about the believers in the book. I began to see that he was talking about me. Right? Then I began to enjoy the book.
Amen. Yep.
Then it began to become a what? A new book.
Amen.
Because I seen myself. You know yourself that most of all what's preached about the people of this message is to try to get you to see Brother Branham. That's wonderful.
Right.
That's a stage in your development. That's got to be there.
Right.
And without that, where would we all be?
Right.
Nowhere. But when are we going to begin to see ourselves?
Right.
When are we going to see ourselves in the book? And get away from not looking for somebody else,
right,
but to find ourselves,
right, amen,
in the Word. And realize this is the bride's book.
Amen.
The Bible is the bride's book. The book of Revelations is a special position, thought, or idea, because it's finishing everything up.
Amen.
But you see, those seals, when they literally break, we're not there.
Right.
Because we gave you the quotes over and over and over and over that this is not in our day.
Right.
The Brother Branham would say on paragraph 194, the fourth seal, this is not in our day. To where he would go through and say, the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1. Not seen till 1921. Well, when are we going to believe that?
Right.
Irregardless of whether we can explain it. I can't explain how that a cow eats green grass and gives white milk. Can you? And you churn the milk, it turns into butter, and it's yellow. Can you explain that? Well, you don't quit drinking milk, do you? Well, that's what I've always tried to get the people to see. See, these things that we're on now, of these seals, they're not even in our day. They're after we leave out of here. But we see the revelation of it. How much greater could it be? The revelation of the opening of the Word. It's after the church is done gone home, the prophet said, that we see these things. We can look back and see these things unfold. I remember when I first was listening to kind of some thoughts on the prophet and what he said. You know why that he did not want the children of Israel to have a literal king? He said because they'd start bowing down before him. Okay? He would demand their respect, but it would go too far. And they would have a one-man idea or thought when he wanted to deal with everybody. But mainly he didn't want them bowing down. That's why he was so much against them bowing before idols. Because that would put something else between the people and God. He said, what do you want a king for? I'm your king. You want somebody to fight your battles? I fight them all for you. But you see, they still wanted a king. And they begin to bow down, and they begin to honor man instead of God.
Right.
Well and good to honor man, but make sure your worship first is to God,
amen,
not to a man.
Right.
Why? Because that's what went on during the ages as we went through. That it went from what? Antichrist, false prophet, then incarnate false prophet, or pope or vicar, as we gave you there, paragraph 160 of the seals, and then turn out to be a beast.
Right.
Same devil in his ways of getting everything done. And then Brother Brown said, I was going to preach a message called Beast at the Beginning and Beast at the End. Because it was a beast in the garden, right? The serpent was the most subtle of all beasts. This beast in the end. When Satan will become incarnate in that false prophet, that is the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, and then when he does, he will take over completely. Right? Not just a demon, but Satan himself. You see, Satan, he's not a man. He's not going to come down in any form. He can't create a body and come and live in it. So he's got to use somebody else. And he will. But it started so easy, so small. And it's still today the same. But Brother Dale, those are good brothers you're throwing off on. You know. I had a brother tell me one time, he said, well, that's the way he sees it. I said, no, forget it now. Hold on a minute. The man, I could give him the book back. I said, he didn't say that's the way he sees it. He said that's the way Brother Branham taught it. Ain't no problems with you saying this is the way I see it. That's no problem. You can say, I believe it this way. That's no problem with me. I'm not going to argue with you because you've got a right by the Constitution to have that. But when you say Brother Branham said it, I'm sorry.
Right.
He didn't say that.
Right.
Well, yes, he did. Well, show it to me.
Right.
You know. Well, so-and-so told me they read it one time. We're in the days of the computer when the so-and-so's is out the door.
Yeah.
Right? What we used to think he said is not exactly right anymore sometimes, because your computer will show you up. And you know what I mean by that? We've been able to handle all of the things, bring it all down to a message. But listen, church, these things are not in our day. This is where we're at, talking about the fourth seal. It's not in our day. It's going to be later on when we get out of here. Well, then what do we need to know about it for? Because it's the plan of redemption.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The seals are the plan of redemption.
Amen.
We need to know the plan of redemption, don't we?
Amen.
Well, I'm not a Jew. It don't matter to me what they do. Well, then that goes to show you don't know what in the world you're talking about. That devil's done got you by his deceptive point.
Yeah.
And some false prophet preacher's done got in the pulpit and prophesied you, Brother Brown said, right into it.
Right.
Until you'll believe it. Believe a lie and be damned by it.
Right.
Where are we at, church?
Right.
That's all that I'm trying to get you to see. All right, let's start on number 5 and just pick up my point, kind of where we left off the other day. What I said, we'll have to use in the brother sometimes and jump him up on some of it. But listen, we've been over this one, but listen very carefully. Paragraph 190, the second seal. Now first, then he became an antichrist, but he couldn't be antichrist only in spirit. Now watch it. Then he becomes an antichrist, and that spirit took a man that taught the same things that antichrist spirit was doing. And then he become a false prophet to the Antichrist spirit. All right. And finally, he becomes a beast. Now, wait, we'll get in that in a after a while. Be all right now. If Satan's trinity lays like that, Satan all the time, Satan, Antichrist spirit, watch him. Antichrist spirit incarnate, false prophet, then he becomes the beast. All right, see? And when not a demon that was in the Antichrist, he's emphasizing it. The beast is not just a demon that was in the Antichrist. The beast is what? But when Satan himself is kicked out, he comes down and takes over the place where the demon was. The devil then.
Yeah.
Then the devil is incarnate in a man. It's just repeating itself. Incarnate in a man, not just an Antichrist spirit.
Right.
You understand the emphasis that he's making? It'll come to a place one day until that man won't be just a demon. It'll be the devil himself. He'll be incarnate in a man. He'll be the man of sin. Satan incarnate. Why? Because, as we said the other day, he can't create. So he has to use something else. So he used the beast in the garden to get this thing messed up, right? So what is going to be in the end time? A man who is so totally yielded until he becomes Satan incarnate. Well, now, like I said, you say, well, now you shouldn't throw off on these brothers or these people. Is that? I wish the devil could get saved. But I'm certainly not going to pity-patter with him. You know. I mean, if he's the devil, he's going to be a devil. He took that choice. He made the choice. All right. Then let him be what he is. It'll be the devil incarnate. Now, we'll read in a minute. We've been over where Brother Run said that beastly heart. But, brother, look how good they do. Look what they've done here. Look what they've done there. That's that Antichrist spirit still riding. But look at the millions they've put to death. And that's Brother Brandon. We'll read again in a minute where he said what? And billions spiritually.
Amen.
And you're not against that?
Right.
No, we're not against people, huh?
Right.
No. That Pope of Rome, I don't have any problems with him. He's a good man. No doubt his life might be a better life than our lives. But still, he's deceived. Hell's going to be full of good people.
Amen.
That thought they were going to heaven. Huh? But think on this now. See, not a demon that was in the false prophet. He's emphasized. It's not just a demon. It's not just something coming down anointing upon people.
Right.
When this comes to the beast, there stands the devil himself.
Right.
You can only see the outside man, which would be one of the popes. Right? Because you don't see God either. You had to see him in Jesus Christ. Right? So he's copying after or typing after Christ.
Amen.
So he's coming forth in the end time to be a deceiver.
Yep.
And he's deceived the whole world. Not just part of the world, the whole world.
Right.
You remember Satan come to Jesus and offered him all of the governments of the world. Did he leave any out? My mother-in-law, she said one time, said, but Sam, said, we're a Christian nation. God's not going to let that happen to us. Well, that was her understanding. Because that's the way they're taught. But you see, it doesn't matter how good the thing is, it's what is behind it. You know. I mean, they make medicine today taste real good, the best they can. But it can kill you. But sure, it tastes good going down. Where in the old days you had the paragarchs and all of the different things that we had to take. You had a croup and a crawfer like what I have a lot of times. You just, the best thing to do was to take a little kerosene and pour it over some sugar and just swallow it down and let it burn out everything that was there. You know. Well, at least now they got a cough drop, you know. Yeah. Put it in and it helps.
Right.
But see, it's deceiving.
Right.
It's death all alone.
Amen. That's right.
All right, look what he says now about this pale horse. Now remember, the reason he's pale is because he's got everything mixed together.
Right.
All the powers are mixed together. All of the white, the red, the black is mixed together.
That's right.
Uh-huh. That's why it turns out to be pale.
Right, amen.
Uh-huh. And who would want anything? My wife will be going down the road sometimes. She'll look at a house and she'll say, why in the world did them people paint that house that color? I said, because they want it to. I mean, I don't care if they like purple or blue or, you know, mint green or something. I mean, but what about, nobody wants anything to be pale, right? Because what is that representative? A sickly thing. You tell somebody they're pale looking. You tell them they're dark looking, they say, well, I've got a suntan. You tell them this, that, or the other, but if you tell them they're pale looking, it doesn't matter where, and I've seen it and all, and that's what I asked Brother Colley one time. I said, how do y'all tell them kids is sick? He said, we get pale too. I said, okay. All right. You know. Because anything's pale looking is sickly. Well, who would want anything sickly? And why would we want a church system that would be sickly? Now, the Bible speaks of, the prophet speaks of, that we need to be what? White hot. Warm water will make you sick at your stomach, right? But you're definitely not going to drink hot water unless you got some coffee or tea in it. So the Bible speaks of being not, that we're not hot and we're not cold. Right? Is that Laodicea?
Right.
It's not white. It's not hot and it's not cold. It's in the middle, sickly. All right? So this is described as sickly thing, but we're going to see in a minute that it's death. And what causes a person to change colors in their facial features? Well, they're sick at their stomach. They're sick at this or that or the other. And you know what that really is? That's death. You've heard the old saying is, you know, you look so pale and sickly, you look like death warmed over.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that just simply means you're still kicking, the heart's beating. But think about it. A sickly, pale thing, mix everything together. But even after you mix it together, get my point I was bringing a while ago, all the governments of the world are mixed together.
Right.
But yet they're killing each other.
Amen.
And every one of them controlled by the same devil.
Right.
But you see, it's going to take a devil then. Now, I don't mean that a devil. It's going to take the devil and his personification in the beast to bring all of these governments together.
Right.
You don't see the deceptive of it now. You don't see the things even in America. You know, don't say nothing about nobody. Hate crime. Don't say nothing about nobody. Oh yeah, but we might not agree with the way they do, but we're not going to say anything about it. We'll read you after a while. We get to it. The prophet said that that's the deception. That's the hour that we're living. But somebody sees got to bring all these governments. Now, you look at it. We'll get to it, Lord willing, this afternoon on Armageddon and the things. And that's where I'd like for you to read the four seals and show me one government that Brother Branham ever names at the Battle of Armageddon. See, we got all these charts, we got all these things that we've had all the way down through, that the Antichrist is supposed to be Assyrian, you know, supposed to come out of Russia, supposed to come out of certain lineages of this kind of a doings or that kind of a doings, you know. But when Brother Branham come to preach in the Battle of Armageddon, he never mentioned Russia, China, United States, or who. You know what he said, don't you? Protestants and Catholics. Well, you know what? Whether you like it or not, we're listed as Protestants. We're supposed to be the only protesters there are.
Right.
The rest of them don't protest.
Right.
They've stopped their protest.
Right.
They're getting along. We're supposed to be the only protesters.
Amen.
The Protestants.
Yep.
Well, where's the forces coming?
Right.
You know that in World War I, that the Germans had "In God We Trust" on their belt buckle? Brother Brown said them Russian soldiers standing there weeping when that person was raised from the dead and sick of the heel, said, "We'll serve a God like that." All of those countries at one time were religious. I'm talking about Christian countries. Well, what are we doing? See? He's a mixed up. Go to number 7, brother. If I call a number, just go and jump up above where you're going, okay? Number 7. Paragraph 197 of the second seal. Excuse me, fourth seal. All right. Notice the Antichrist was on a pale horse, mixed color. Horse is a beast that represents the power. His power is all mixed up. Now look at his power. It's political. It's national power. It's religious powers. It's demon powers. So every country in the world, United States or whatever, is controlled by those four things. And you'd wonder why he would even use it to say political and then use it national powers. Well, look at them now. One world government. Right? We already have the UN, the soldiers, the world. We're sending them to the world to police the world.
Right.
Called the UN.
Yep.
See? That was set aside to where that they were going to have no more wars. They claimed World War II was the last war that was to be done, and they were going to get together and make a one world army. That everybody would commit so many people to that army, so much money. And as they did, then they would wind up policing the world. That even if your own country started doing something, that police force had a right to come into your country and demand for you to straighten it up. Now they're talking about a one world government, everything. See, it's got to get the stage you said. You got to get all these governments that agree.
Right.
He said, "Well, they're not going to never agree." Well, they will when the head man says it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
When they say, like I was talking about the other day, you go up there now and they don't like you, and they just mark your name off of that computer system, and you no longer exist. Oh, you can holler and scream, "I was born on a certain day," but they don't have any records of you being ever born or anything. So they can just annihilate you in a hurry. And then they can say that you don't have no Social Security card, you don't have no records or nothing, you don't get no money, and you don't exist. So you can't buy or sell. Big boy's going to take over, ain't he? Every government is under his control.
Right.
Now, to illustrate then, we believe the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to be able to control, right?
Amen.
We just remember Satan is very close. He can control every people in the world. Everybody has got a hotline, not to Lula, Georgia, but to where? Every government's got a hotline. We've got a nice one up there, you know. Little red telephones, and they got black telephones, and they got hooked up to who? The Vatican. You remember the article that who done away with communism? Reagan and the Pope. It was in the newspapers, magazines. See, they run the arms race and pushed them to where that they would break the country. And if they'd have demanded the payment that day of our national debt, we would have been busted just like everything else. You're going to find out one of these days the whole world's controlled by one person.
Right.
And they sure are fighting it out with each other because, you know, there is tales that this Pope today is going to die before the end of the year. Because even their own records claim that it is. But that's all right. I don't know. I don't read their records. None of my business.
Right.
You see? That's all a deception to try to keep you and I following after something instead of following the Word.
That's right.
You want to know what about the world is going to happen? Read the prophet's message. There's no need of reading the government. They're not going to tell you the truth anyway.
Yeah.
One day you got plenty of oil. They raise the price of gasoline. The next day you don't have any oil and they raise the price of gasoline. Right? I don't understand that one. But it's all right. Listen, church. It's what your prophet had to say. Not what so-and-so says or anybody says or what they print in the newspaper.
Right.
Who was it? Oh, I won't call his name, but one of those big men way back years ago, I remember that. He was the head of one government over there, and this man told him, said, we're in an economical crisis in the government. He said, who give you the right to call it that? I think he had the guy killed. But I know that he said, who give you the right? I'm the head of the country. Well, the man was just telling him what was going on. But see, he was telling him, you don't come in here and tell me that our government is going down. Why? Because he was bigger than the government. Right? Listen, church. Political powers, demon powers, national powers. But he's still described as a sickly looking thing.
Right.
Sickly looking situation. Because there's no hopes. Right? We don't have any instant pills to be able to. Go ahead with number eight, brother. We don't have any instant pills to be able to, you know, give them to people to make them feel better. It takes a rejuvenation, ever how you say it, of cells in your body to bring your body back into doing. Well, there's nothing you can do for this government. What, 40-some years ago, when the prophet of God said you could put a George Washington in every office about the country? And he said you can't pull it out. He says, you're paying taxes at 40 years from now before it'll be paid for. Well, how much is it now? What are we sitting in? A government? But it's controlled by what now? What I want you to get the point, because this is the message point. Even though it's political, national, all kind of things, right, it's controlled by religious power.
That's right. Amen.
Right? Religious power deals with mankind in his mind. Like a man told me one day, sitting in his house, and I won't call his name, but he said, if I could get a man's mind, I've got him. And I thought, you just divulged your whole secret, buddy. You know, because that's what he was trying to do. You know, like one brother said about the man, said, somebody said something about, said, well, he'd give away this. He said, sure, you know, I'll give it away too if you'll give it back to me. You know, that was his pull. But listen, church. Our minds are controlled to a degree by demon powers,
right,
whether we like it or not.
Right.
You can holler all you want to that I am a Christian and I'm not controlled by nobody but the Holy Ghost. And that's in the soul. That's in the soul. If you're a newborn Christian. We've got this old body and spirit out here that's of the world. That's controlled by the world. If not, just don't eat no more. Is that enough? Just don't eat anymore. Well, that's being stupid. That's what I thought you'd agree with. But see, it's true, isn't it?
Right.
Won't you let the Holy Ghost feed you?
Yep.
Well, that's not... Well, okay, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Right.
See, all of these things are controlling you and I. Do you know that at the end of World War II, they had an ability to be able to fly over a city and electronically program the people's mind? You don't never read or keep up with things. You remember when the day came that they used to flash subliminal messages on the TV screens about drink Coke, drink Coke. And they made them pull it off. And even the man made the point then, he said, what if they would say the Pope is God, the Pope is God, the Pope is God?
Right.
Now, to express that in spiritual powers, you know that the devil right now is telling you this and that and the other, and it would be great to go through everybody's mind that's in here right now and be able to express it. I'm certainly glad I'm not a prophet. Certainly glad I'm not. Because I wouldn't want to know what you're thinking about. Some of you are thinking about eating. Some of you are thinking about, we've heard this 49,000 times. Some of you are thinking, how many points am I hitting? Some are saying, what in the world is he talking about? Right? See, Satan is controlling our minds. Now, if you don't get nothing, I'll take this part. Death is a controlling of your mind. The death I'm talking about. Not the death of dying, laying down, your heart quits beating. That's what you call death. No. See, Satan is penetrating our minds and destroying us. How many of you prayed before you came to church today and asked God to be able to reveal things to you? I didn't ask for a raise of hands. It'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Did you pray for the services today? For God to reveal his word to you? No, you think that's my job. That's not exactly my job, you know. My mind might work on my mind, but it won't work on yours. But you see, that's what Satan's doing. And that's death. That's that sickly, pale horse that we're talking about. All right. Satan fully on his throne, the prophet would call it. In the man of sin as the beast, Satan will be fully on his throne. But what about leading up to that? You know that every person that is not born again, Satan is on the throne of their heart. I don't care how good they think they are. Or who it is. If you don't have the new birth, Satan's on his throne in your heart.
Right.
There is such a thing called a new birth.
Amen. That's right.
Take him off of that throne.
Amen.
Put him in the right place and bring him to that point. All right. Go down to number 14. Let's get on fast. Come down to number 14. Because, see, I'm preaching what the quotes are up there, but today I'm not using them as much. You've already heard these things, but listen to what your prophet has said. This is the fourth seal now. Now he's talking about the fourth rider as being death. And his name is death. Listen, it was not mentioned of the other times of this rider. But since now it's mentioned that he's called death. See, fourth seal calls him death. But under the revelation of the line, now watch, I want to read this close so I'd be sure, wrote down the place. Not under the revelation of the lion. He didn't call it death.
Right.
Called it a white horse rider.
Right.
Antichrist. Okay. Or the first age, the early age. This wasn't revealed. The next age was the age of the ox, which is the dark age, the middle age. It wasn't revealed as what it was. Nor the man-like beast of wisdom, representing the reformers, Luther, Wesley, and so forth. It wasn't revealed. But in the eagle age, the last age, the prophetic age, where there is to rise prophetic utterance to whom the secrets always come. All right. Now, the other ages, the other combat beasts must not have known what death really was. Now, they knew about dying, and they knew about the deception of the devil and his antichrist movements and his beings, and they could see the killings, and they could see the thing. But they didn't call him death. Because just like Luther, Wesley, and them, say, coming down especially into there where the Wesley and them singing about, I know it was the blood, and all your songs was written about the blood. Why? Because they believed the blood was what saved you. But we found out by the eagle age of what? It's not the blood that saves you. The blood keeps you saved. It's the life that's in the blood that's what saves you. Right. See, then when it comes down to the end of it, the eagle is the most important part. But I must stop and express, too, that we believe that the white horse, you know, as the lion, we believe that was the Spirit of God among the people. Then when it was the ox, that was the Spirit of God among the people. Then when it comes to the man, that was the ministry of God among the people. But when we come to the eagle, we say, Brother Branham. Well, we thank God for him bringing, because we wouldn't have no message if he didn't bring it. But this is a prophetic age. You realize that 464, the seal book, the prophet said, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God coming in a prophet. He wasn't talking about Azusa Street man, the one-eyed black man. He was talking about the age. He said, but at the end of the age, the messenger comes. Read it. See, it comes down to where that we are in the age of prophetic. You go down the road, you see eagles on everybody's houses. This is a prophetic age. You run for office. Go put in for office, you know, in your county. But you better not have any skeletons in your closet, because they're going to bring them out. You know. Because they have the ability now. It's the age of revealing. It's the age of making known everything. Why? Because the eagle age is here for the prophetic.
Right.
Brother Branham come and brought us a message. But you and I are supposed to be little eaglets.
Right.
Right. That's why we're not deceived. That's why we can't be deceived. See, because we're the little eaglets. All right. And in doing that, then what is death? Spiritual death. The prophet of God said the last plague that struck Egypt was spiritual death.
Right.
There was darkness everywhere but in Goshen, right?
Amen.
He said the last plague that strikes the Pentecostal church is spiritual death.
Right.
No. Spiritual death. What about being so alive until everything is moving and everything is going and everything shouting glory, hallelujah, and all of the movements and the singing and the worship, and you're dead. That's the deceiving part, isn't it? I don't see how you can say they're dead. Look how they shout glory, hallelujah. Well, that's wonderful. Maybe I wonder sometimes around here why we're so dead. Because we don't shout too much. But the prophet said, just make sure the way you know, you walk straight and you come back down after you're shouting. All right. That's not degrading nobody. That's just telling it like it is. You can see people that are so emotional and so spiritual and it's all, but yet you talk to them about the Word. Huh? Well, I don't really think it's important for us to understand these things. Well, who are you? You know, who are you? What are you judging it by? What is death? See, spiritual death is the first thing.
Right.
For you to die spiritually, that's a whole lot worse than physical. Physical death is a horrible thing, but not like spiritual. Not especially in what we call the religious realm of it, because in the religious realm, people think that they are still alive and they're dead. Are you saying, Brother Dale, that only the people of this message are alive? No, I didn't say that. And where'd you get the idea? But listen, spiritual death. What about being alive, but yet still be dead?
Right.
Being so spiritually dead.
Yeah.
You go out and talk to people about the Word. You don't have to get into Brother Branham was a prophet and all of that, because ain't no need of doing that. I don't teach you to do that. But go out there and talk to them about one God and water baptism, or some simple point that they ought not cut their hair or paint their face, or it's some simple thing. And they'll let you know real quick that they're not going to listen to you. Because, see, they're spiritually dead.
Right. Amen.
You try to show the people of this message what Brother Branham says. They've got their own quotes, their own ideas, their own thoughts.
Right.
Spiritual death. Sitting in the pews, dead.
Right.
Not mentioned that his name is death anywhere but in the last age.
Amen.
Now, you remember what I was bringing out the other day? It says his name is Death. The prophet called him. It says was Death in the Bible. You said, but Death is not a name. But remember, a noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. So death is a thing. So you don't have to write down our devil. It's dead. Ichabod is posted on the doorpost, right? The glory of the Lord has departed. What about Cain? The Bible says he went out from the presence of the Lord. It didn't say God drove him out. He went into spiritual death. Dead while you're living, the Bible calls it. Spiritual death. No wonder it's called a pale, sickly horse. Because how much worse could it look? How much of a time or an hour has ever been an hour than when it looks like it does across the land of America? Right? Is there any hopes of this governmental situation being able to pull it out? The prophet said the only thing that Castro done had any sense at all to do, he changed the currency. Right? Brought in all of the bonds and the things and just canceled them. And just bought things with checks. But when they got to the bank, the money done been done away with. Brother Run said that was the only sensible thing to do. He said, but it can't be done in America. He said, so we got to borrow the money from somewhere. Now, where are we going to get the money from?
Right.
Like I've always said to you, and I don't mean it as a joke, but you say, well, who do we owe our national debt to? Well, we just owe it to ourselves. Well, I'll write mine off. You want to? How much is it supposed to be that you owe me? I'll write it off as being okay. So now you know it's not that we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the super rich. You know that even though Russia went, and I read this, so I'm just saying, even though Russia went bankrupt, you know that there was more billionaires in Russia than in the United States. Where's their money? It wasn't in Russia. It's in America. Invested in all this, that, and the other. It's in the Swiss bank accounts. More billionaires in Russia than there are here. And we think about Russia as being a third world country, as being dilapidated and, you know. You better remember they were the first one to go to the moon. And just remember, because communism was done away, it never done away with Gog and Magog, and never done away with Russia. It's still there, waiting for the time. Did they do away with all of their arms and things in the, you know, the military? No. But think about it. Spiritual death. The last plague that hit the Pentecostal church is spiritual death. Jump over, Brother Anderson, to number 17. Let's just end this up in the last few minutes. This is taken from the message of Speak to the Rock, or E-47. Yes, sir, the death angel is on today. And let me tell you, that's 1953, 1115. Let me tell you something. It's sweeping the lands this day. What? Death angel is. Listen, these churches and things that's having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, you find out they go in there. It's not a natural death, it's a spiritual death. A natural death is not very bad, but a spiritual death, being separated, cut off from God, send away their day of grace. 1953. The death angel, he said, was in the land. 1956, or 57, he said, I don't pray for America anymore. It's done, send away its day of grace. Spiritual death is done struck. Go to the next one. The unveiling of God, paragraph 157, 1964, 614, morning service. They spiritually die now. This is a spiritual veil, see. That was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil, see. They keep walking right on in behind there, and you can tell them, oh, I know that, but see, go ahead, it's all right. It only speaks. You remember the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus? The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to the dust. That's going into the millennium, right? And the righteous will walk out upon their ashes, but the last thing is spiritual death. What did he say? Rejecting the word. Now, what is death that an angel, an eagle would call it? Spiritual death, to reject God's word. Well, I've got a right to believe what I want to. That's the Constitution, not the Bible. Right. Well, you think you're the only one that's got it? I didn't say that. Why you come up with that idea? Right. I've always preached around the world there is a bride of Jesus Christ to receive the message, right, and preachers that will preach it. I just keep looking for them, trying to find them. Yeah. Right? Look at the next one. Israel in the church, 1953. Listen, paragraph 56. God fixing Moses, getting him ready, and sent out the signs. Then the last sign we taken last night was death, and we found out that spiritual death in the church, the last plague now, church drying up, blowing away. That's right. We're living in a horrible time. How that the church, the old timers that used to be really out of the victory, is losing out, dying out, letting the blood off the mercy, off the front of the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Look at the last one, but this is one I like. Well, there's two more. Discerning the body of the Lord. What did he say? Not discerning the Lord's body. Many are weakly and sick. Remember the sickly pale horse? Huh? Many are asleep, dead, spiritually dead. The last plague that hit Egypt was death. The last plague that hits the church is spiritual death. What we need today is a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening to discernment. What is discernment? Discerning what's going on. We need a spiritual awakening. Did the prophet say it'll take those seven unknown thunders to bring the bride to a revival, right? An awakening. Wake up the bride. Brother preached down at Athens one time a message on wake up the bride. And Brother Moat got up after him into the next service, and boy, you talking about, all he said was, he said, the brother preached a good message of waking up the bride, so now let's don't sit down and go to sleep. And he got it for 2 hours from the other preachers that was preaching about. And he was just simply saying the man done a good job. They needed to wake him up. Now let's don't sit down and go back to sleep. But if a prophet in 53 would look at spiritual death, how much more would it be when he would see it under the message of the end time of the seals and time? He said, no wonder I was against that. And see, he would call it spiritual death. Look at the last one, though. What is it? Rejecting God's word. This is the last one. 1965, 220, God's chosen place of worship, paragraph 55. And now the same is today. There is only one place that spiritual death cannot strike. Now read it. There's only one place that spiritual death cannot strike. Now, if there's only one place it can't strike, it means it struck everywhere else. Is that sensible? All right. There's only one place that spiritual death cannot strike. That's the Word. Death can't strike the Word. Now remember, His name is Death. He's riding on a white horse. In Revelation 19, we see Christ coming back riding on a white horse. And His name is the Word. Yeah, but Brother Dale, the word is not a name. What is a name? Person or thing. And the Word is a thing. If Satan is death, and that's his name, is a thing, then life is a thing, which is the birth of the Word. Now, Brother Branham is not saying, because like I said, I gave you the quote a while ago, he said, as long as it's laying on the pages of the book, it can be questioned. But see, what the alive Word can't be questioned. There is no death in the alive Word. When He comes back riding on the white horse, that Word is alive. That's not a dead letter. That's not letters on a page. That is a group of people who has become the Word. Death can't follow the revealed Word. And why would you want to even deal with it? The Word is death. I mean, if it's not quickened. Because the Scripture says that let her kill it. But the alive Word is a name. I wish I could preach what I saw off of that. But it just kind of slipped away from me because that's all right. It'll come back. Satan's name is death. That's his name. Death. Because your name is what you are. But Christ's name is His Word. It's alive. No wonder it can ride and be victorious. Because it's alive. Come on, brothers. Alive Word, revealed Word, quickened Word is what I'm talking about. Not letters on a page. Not what your computer can say. But what you got in your heart. That's alive. Death can only be conquered by the revealed Word. Are you following me? Death can only be conquered when the Word is revealed. You realize what I'm saying? That until we seen one God, we were dead to that part. That word, letters, was dead. But once it's revealed, it's made alive to you. That's why I can stand on this message of the hour and declare that that prophet was the messenger. And I've spent my entire ministry basically defending the things that looked contrary, but to show that it's not. The revealed Word will conquer all things, because death can't destroy the revealed Word. There's no battle going to be over there in Revelation 19 of us coming back as glorified people and fighting the natural people on earth. That's what's been taught in this message. But show it to me. That's not a battle. The battle's going on now.
All right. Okay.
We'll get to it this afternoon. See, there's a natural Armageddon under the fourth seal. But there's a spiritual Armageddon taking place in your mind and my mind right now. And it's battling out. And it's Protestants and Catholics coming against the Word. And you're looking at one, and I'm looking at a lot. Is that okay? Wes said it. You're looking at one because you're looking at me. I'm looking at you. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's death. Our ideas and thoughts, contrary to the Word, is death. No matter how good they sound or how beautiful it looks, it's death.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Let's stand together. Think on these things. The prophet called it death. The eagle called it death.
Right.
And then he seen what it was. He didn't see it in his early ministry what that death really was. He said, no wonder I've been against that all the time.
Right.
See, he's seen death. He's seen the worldly church system that looks so wonderful and beautiful, but is sickly and pale looking. Death. What do you think about it? Go ahead, brother.
45 in the spinal book.
Anybody have a need?
What a fellowship. What a joining of leaning on the everlasting arm.
What about it? Do we have life in us or do we have death? Sister believes she has a kidney infection. Very bad. So let's just believe. Let's see whether death can exist over life. Life is God's word. God's word said you're healed. Death is anything that would make us doubt that. Thank God for doctors. We go to them and we believe and we do as best we can. But we know the doctor is not the healer. We know who the healer is, right? So let's believe him. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our sister, condemning this thing that's called kidney disease. And we believe your word that by your stripes, she's healed. We thank you, Father. Now let your word that's been spoken over her prevail over Satan and his ideas and thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. And just believe it. See, anybody else? You have a need? Come and let's see. Let's believe.
Brother Sam, Nate said he could.
Allergy problem. And he's asking for his dad also, Lord. So we believe you that you'll take care of all things. And that by your stripes, our little buddy is healed. Now just take away this problem of the sinuses in Jesus' name. And also from his dad, Lord, he's asking for him in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Come and let's see.
The other day when I went to that.
sisters come and stand, and you know that they're going through the of trying to adopt the children or bring them into their family, whatever, of the one there and all, and it looks like it's working out good, but yet it's like she said, she's facing all kind of demons. That you go in there, you know, everything's just going haywire, and she wants everybody to pray with her that she, you know, have enough faith and understanding and to not be negative in the point of saying, well, you know, Mandy will never change. Well, you don't know. There's probably a lot of people said that about you. Right. And they was probably thought that was true. But, you know, something happened and it changed it. So let's believe. See, our sister's got the right idea. They're wanting to help Mandy and them. They're wanting to help the whole thing instead of just get the kids and get it out, you know. We want to see them be saved and do whatever, get straight. Right? So let's just all pray together and remember that with our sister, okay? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know for certainly, Father, that you'll have to move on the scene to take care of all of these problems because there's so many. Everything's facing the wrong way. But yet, we know you will take care of everything, Lord. And our sister is not just asking for the kids and things, but asking for you to help even Mandy and all of the ones and Ricky and all of them that are involved in all of this thing, that you would come down and take care of everything, Lord. And we believe you, and we thank you. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just believe it. Amen. Anybody else before we go? If not, just remember the service this afternoon. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning. We pray that, Lord, what we said has been kind of scattered around because of our thoughts of what we want to bring out, because we want to really see death and see what it is and see what it's doing in our human minds and destroying us, Lord, because that's what death really is. But we just ask you to come on the scene because it cannot stand against your word. And we love you and we thank you. Bless and guide each one now as we go our separate ways. Bring us back this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.